The CRISPR-Cas9 technology has been a crowd favorite for a Nobel win for a few years now. Much to the delight of the scientific community, it was finally awarded the 2020 Chemistry Nobel. In this video, we're taking a detailed look at what CRISPR is, how it was discovered, what leaps and bounds biomedical research has made since it was discovered we could manipulate DNA with it, and why the Nobel Committee described it as being able to rewrite the code of life. My name is Sandhya Ramesh and this is Pure Science. CRISPR stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced Short Palindromic Repeats. It is basically a sequence of DNA where short bits of DNA segments are repeated at spaced intervals in a sequence. To understand how major this discovery and its subsequent exploitation is, let's look at the timeline of CRISPR and go through this chronologically. Like most notable findings in microbiology, CRISPR was first identified in E. coli. A Japanese molecular biologist called Yoshizumi Ishino was the first in 1987 to notice that in the DNA sequence of E. coli, there were short, repeated, spaced out sequences of DNA segments. At the time, it was very difficult to figure out what these repeated segments in a sequence did because our methods of sequencing the genome weren't as advanced as it is today, so a lot of genomic data was still missing. Then a few years later, in 1993, a Spanish microbiologist and molecular biologist called Francisco Mojica was studying two archaea species and discovered that such repeated segments were present in their DNA as well. Archaea are also single-cell organisms similar to bacteria, and both of them lack a nucleus, so they are prokaryotes, unlike eukaryotes, which have a nucleus in their cells. So after Mojica's discovery of repeated spaced segments in archaea DNA, such sequences started to be found in many other bacteria and archaea. Mojica and his collaborators worked on this repeated DNA segments for a few years, and they discovered that the repeated sequences are, first of all, palindromic. So when we look at a DNA, it is interspersed strands. It's two interspersed strands with a double helical shape, as discovered by Rosalind Franklin. In a repeat palindromic segment, the top to bottom has a sequence of letters and the intertwined strands has the same sequence from bottom to top. So essentially, in a sequence, if you flip the DNA segment over, the code still reads the same. These short repeated segments are about 20 to 40 letters in length, and the DNA is made up of four letters or nucleobases, which are nitrogen containing compounds. These four letters are A, C, G, T, and they appear in pairs called base pairs. Additionally, the researchers had known that the segments are spaced at regular intervals and separated by what is called spacer DNA. This spacer DNA segment that separates these repeated segments are not identical to other spacer DNA segments in the same sequence. All the repeats are identical, but the spacer DNAs are not. Mojica's team was able to determine that the spacer DNA is the important one that has been edited and inserted and holds the DNA of these viruses and bacteriophages. This remarkable finding was published by his team in a groundbreaking paper in 2005, which at the time did not get any attention, but showed that these bits of DNA came from a foreign organism. Independently, at the same time, French microbiologist Christine Porcel also determined the same thing. Meanwhile, 3 years earlier, in 2002, a Dutch microbiologist called Ruud Janssen was also studying these repeats and noticed that they are present in prokaryotes but not eukaryotes or viruses. He authored a 2002 paper where he and his collaborators first used the term CRISPR, which stands for clustered regularly interspaced short palindromic repeats. The paper further goes on to describe that they found four genes that were found only in prokaryotes that had this CRISPR type repeat DNA system, but not in other prokaryotes that did not have CRISPR. So these genes were associated with CRISPR clearly, and they call them CRISPR associated genes or Cas genes. Cas genes code for Cas proteins, and it was speculated that these genes create proteins that were used for DNA repair. But by 2006, Estonian-American evolutionary biologist called Kira Makarova was able to determine that these Cas genes that are associated with the CRISPR system code for proteins that can both unwind DNA, called helicases, converting them to RNA eventually, and they can also cut DNA, called nucleases. She and her team realized that everything works together to build an acquired immune system to protect prokaryotes from viruses that can invade them. So these multiple groups were able to independently determine and confirm that these CRISPR sequences and Cas genes were a part of a defense system for prokaryotes and are not found even today in eukaryotes. Kira Makarova was also the first to propose that this system can be exploited and used by humans. It wasn't until 2012 that French microbiologist Alexandre Bolletin determined that it was only one gene, the Cas9 gene, that was needed to cut the DNA. So this is how the system worked. When a bacteriophage, which is a virus that is capable of infecting a bacteria, invades a bacteria or an archaea, if there is no immune system, it would insert its DNA or RNA into the host's genome, become embedded in it, then replicate, and then kill the host, which is the bacteria or archaea or any prokaryote. The CRISPR system's Cas complex produce protein that capture the viral DNA first when the virus tries to enter, and then breaks it down. If there is a similar sequence already present in the CRISPR sequence, the virus is destroyed. If not, the new viral DNA is captured. It is transcribed by Cas proteins into what is called CRISPR RNA. The Cas9 protein then cuts the CRISPR DNA sequences and then inserts this new viral sequence into it. Then, this segment of the viral material would be used by the CRISPR immune system in the future to identify other similar viruses or bacteriophages and fight them off. This is similar to how our immune system works as well. We don't have CRISPR systems because we are eukaryotes, but memory B cells and memory T cells do store information about invading pathogens and later use this database to recognize new pathogens and mount an immune response. And now we come to the Nobel Prizes. In 2011, this year's Nobel winner, French microbiologist and geneticist and biochemist Emmanuel Charpentier, was working on another bacteria called Streptococcus pyogenes. This is a bacteria that causes skin infections in humans. She noticed that the bacteria contained a previously undiscovered molecule called tracer RNA, which actually turns out holds the CRISPR RNA in place. She was able to show that tracer RNA is a part of the bacteria's ancient CRISPR-Cas immune system, specifically a part of Cas9. Her findings were published in 2011. The other winner, American biochemist Jennifer Doudna, had also started to work independently on CRISPR in 2009. She was an RNA expert. In 2011, she met Charpentier at a conference in Puerto Rico, following which they began to work closely on the CRISPR-Cas system together. They realized that they could change the CRISPR RNA inside the Cas9 protein and replace it with another RNA from a whole other organism. They recreated the bacteria's genetic scissors in a test tube and were eventually able to reprogram the entire CRISPR-Cas9 system so that it could be controlled and be used to cut any DNA molecule at a specific site on the genetic sequence. What this does is it fundamentally alters the genetic code of the organism. Now, for the development of this process, Chinese-American biochemist Feng Zhang played a major role in optimizing the CRISPR-Cas9 for use in mammalian cells. This, of course, is the point of it all from the perspective of humankind. Charpentier and Doudna published their collaborative groundbreaking work in 2012. Independent Lithuanian biochemist Virginijus Sieksnys was actually the first to successfully prove that this gene editing technique works, mere months prior to the publication of Charpentier and Doudna's paper. However, his paper was unfortunately rejected and subsequently published in another journal 3 months after the duo's paper. Now, all of the names that I've mentioned are just some prominent names who were involved in the development of the whole process. There were countless other notable scientists as well. And this was all about the history and development of the CRISPR system, but it wasn't without controversies. There has been a hotly contested patent battle and a credit battle between Charpentier and Doudna and Zhang and Sieksnys. I'm not going to go into detail on that, but there are some links in the description box below if you're curious. We know that when a DNA is cut, it can be rewritten by inserting a different sequence and its code modified. This process can be used to alter the DNA of almost any organism today. So it's being described as being able to rewrite the code of life. At this point, we also know that this is the first time that a Nobel Prize, especially that too encouragingly a science Nobel, has been awarded jointly to two women after decades of criticism by the scientific community for overlooking female scientists for the Nobel Prizes. Today, CRISPR-Cas9 technology has made immense and immediate progress, taking big jumps, and it has been adopted widely across multiple domains. It is cost-effective, promising, and you can even buy DIY CRISPR kits online on Amazon. It is that inexpensive. Finally, let's look at some of the major applications of CRISPR that holds promise for the future. First is plants and crops. CRISPR has been used to turn off genes that produce caffeine in coffee, creating decaf coffee beans, which is great for coffee drinkers, but it's been also used to develop experimental crops that are pest and drought resistant, which is of great benefit to humanity. It has been used to alter fruits that are at high risk from climate change, such as banana and dates, making them more hardy and resistant to climatic adverse conditions. It has in fact been used to improve fruits and vegetables for the past 6 to 7 years experimentally, including tomatoes, cucumbers, kiwis, strawberries, papaya, citrus fruits, and grapes, making them resistant to extreme weather conditions and pests and diseases that can lead to loss of crop yield. It has been used to edit flax so that the seeds can tolerate drought and produce more oil. It has also been used in fish to make fish more nutritious for people who consume them. And it's being experimented with to make foods less allergenic. Gluten allergy, which can lead to celiac disease, for example, is something that is being addressed through CRISPR. Netherlands is trying to modify the DNA of wheat to remove gluten. Then there's diseases in animals and humans. We know that everything in our body is expressed by genes, including some diseases, as well as our ability to fight off those diseases. So, of course, one of the major applications of CRISPR is biomedical research. First, CRISPR is used in labs to replicate disease transmission and perform experiments by simulating how the diseases affect humans and animals. This isn't limited to just mammals, it works for just about any organism, and CRISPR in labs has been widely used in disease models and studying of model organisms, which are organisms that are used the most in labs. These include E. coli as well as Drosophila, the fruit fly. It has also been used to successfully restore hearing in hearing impaired mice. It can also be used to create human cellular models for other kinds of diseases such as those of kidneys or any other organs by just using cells. This is a brand new way of researching disease and disease spread made available to us just in the past decade or so. CRISPR can also be used to modify DNA sequences in actual humans to treat a wide variety of diseases, such as Down syndrome, which is caused by abnormal number of chromosomes. apart from diseases like Huntington's disease and Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which are genetic disorders, it can also be used to try and treat diseases like cancer. In China, it was tried on 3 cancer patients first, where the immune system's T cells were modified to remove a specific gene which tumors bind to and deactivate. Modified cells are then re-infused into the patients to improve immunotherapy, or basically getting a person's own immune system to fight off the cancer. The reinfusion was done without any side effects, but the trial only had moderate outcomes, and in fact, one patient eventually succumbed to cancer. But it's not perfect yet, and the early results do seem very promising. Subsequently, there are over 100 cancer patients who are now being tried with CRISPR. It has been demonstrated to have the ability to reverse congenital blindness, and this process is also in trials. It has shown to be able to cut out the DNA of the HIV virus in cells and is again in trials to cure HIV-positive patients. CRISPR can also be used to prevent disease by modifying pathogens and carriers of diseases as well, and it has been successfully tried in limited studies to eliminate mosquitoes that spread some of humanity's notorious diseases like malaria and dengue. It's also been used for cattle and livestock, where for the first time this year, we now have tuberculosis-resistant cows. CRISPR can also be used for bioenergy and cleaner fuels. These will be alternatives to fossil fuels. Now, we know that plants and algae or algae and cyanobacteria convert sunlight and carbon dioxide to energy. They also release, as byproducts of this process, sugar, alcohol, and fat. These also can be sources of alternate fuels. Scientists have already tried to modify bacteria to produce low carbon fuels, and early results are once again very promising. A little imaginatively, CRISPR can also be used to re-engineer and bring back species from the dead, like what else but the woolly mammoth. Finally, and importantly, there's also a lot of talk about designer babies, and CRISPR needs a lot of stringent regulations for human experiments. If you remember, the infamous Chinese CRISPR experiment created twins, Lulu and Nana, in China, unethically to ensure that these babies are HIV resistant for their entire lives. But modifying genes unnecessarily, especially in the embryonic stage, or genes that can be passed on genetically, is unethical. Furthermore, the scientist He Jiankui, who did this, turned out to have forged documents and engaged in even more unethical work, so he was sentenced to 3 years. And there's not much information about the twins right now and how they're doing and what their status is. We shouldn't be doing something like this without understanding the implications, is what other scientists believe, and we don't know how this kind of editing will affect other genes in our bodies. Germline engineering, where an individual's genome is modified so that a change becomes hereditary in the future, is still considered unethical and is illegal in most places. The only modifications allowed now with CRISPR on human bodies, ethically and likely to be beneficial, are somatic modifications, where cells that don't become a part of the hereditary process are modified to prevent and reverse diseases.